Good morning, campers. How are we doing today? Good. Hey, do you remember that time in school when you had to do the cause and effect essay? You remember that? Like the teacher would put up something, little Johnny punched his sister, therefore he got put in timeout, right? You remember the cause and an effect thing? That's kind of what I want to get into today. And to do this example for you, I want to show you a, hold on. Does anybody have a $5 bill? I had a $5 in my wallet last night, but then somebody, Talixon, made me go out for pie, and I spent my $5. I need a $5 bill for this illustration. Does anybody have one that I could just borrow real quick? Thank you, Rick, very much. See? Cause, effect. Appreciate that, Pastor. The cause and effect example, right? See, there's a cause and effect. Like, if you speed too much, you could see this in your rearview mirror, right? That image of the police officer. I think we have a slide for that image. Because I think that was Pastor Jeff taking a shot of that. He saw that. Or, you know, if you work too much, right, you can get physically sick, depressed, ill, you can get burned out. This is usually how I see Roger when I go in his office. Or too much alcohol, right? Seriously, that can lead to all kinds of physical problems. Or too much caffeine in middle school kids is not a good cause and effect. Or if you have too much White Castle, your friends could show up like this around you. And sometimes even ministry. You're going to see a picture of Marty Briggs before children's ministry and after children. I've been excited about that all week long. There are some biblical examples of cause and effect too, right? Water in, wine out. Mud on the eyes, sight restored. Moses raises his staff, Red Sea open. Man with withered hand stretched out, he's healed. The people receive power, they go out into all the world and preach the gospel, and people get saved. What we're going to see today in our story is we're going to see this example of cause and effect lived out. Before we jump to Revelations, we need to look at Acts 16. So if you have a Bible, go to Acts 16, 11 through 15. Because what happens in Acts chapter 16 sets up what happens in the church, the letter that we're going to talk about in Revelations today. So Acts 16, 11 through 15, and this is what it says. From Troas we put out to sea, and this is Paul and his companions, and set and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. Now I put a little map here of this area so you can kind of see where they're at. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and there we stayed for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of them listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. She was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. Now, when it says she was a worshiper of God, this word God does not mean Yahweh or Jehovah. This word God is the Greek word theon, which could mean any type of God. So she was a worshiper of a God, not the God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord. Now, this word Lord changes to the word Kyrios, which is singular and definitive. So she goes from believing in a God to believing in the God. So if you believe me to be a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us to do so. So they went to her house and they stayed there. The cause, Paul did what he was commanded to do. He preached the gospel. The effect, Lydia is saved. She goes to her home in Thyatira, and she plants a church. Now, Thyatira, so you have a little background of this city, it was the wealthy community in the area. On the next slide, we can kind of see where Thyatira is. Here's all the seven churches that we've been talking about, the seven different letters. You can see them all kind of listed there. And between Pergamum that Jeff talked about and Sardis, there is Thyatira. And sits right between those two cities. And it's in modern-day Turkey. And it was a very wealthy community. It was the new Buffalo, you know, with all the beachfront homes up there of their kind of community. Now, its wealth came from this Lycus Valley. And they would have every Saturday essentially set up like a farmer's market, like you see, right? It's that time of year, and all the farmers come together, and they get together in different parts of the area, and they set up their booths, and they sell their stuff. So that's what would happen in this little community. Now, the people there worshiped this god named Tiramos. Now, this god was the god of the sun. Because they lived in the valley, when the sun shined, the crops rose, it brought money and wealth to their region, and they were a very prosperous people. So they worshiped this god Tiramos, who was that what they believed to be the god of the sun. Now, Tiramos had a prophetess that worked kind of with him named Sambeth, and with Sambeth, there was a prophetess in the community that would speak whatever, so they believed, these gods would tell them to speak. And that person's name is Jezebel. We're going to get to her in just a little bit. In this city, though, that was full of guilds. There were actors' guilds and artists' guilds and carpentry guilds and bronze layers' guilds and gold workers' guilds. So you belong to a specific guild. So whoever you belong to, whatever guild you were in, so if you were a golfer, you would belong to the golfing guild and you would go to the places where the golfers would go. So if your golfers went to this temple to worship Sambeth, the prophetess, or if your guild went to worship Tiramos, you would go where they would go. If you were a carpenter, you would go to that guild. Now, Lydia in Acts, we're told, is a seller of purple cloth. She was one of the fabric makers in this community, and she used this thing called madder root in order to make purple, which was a color of royalty, and which was a color that was really, really hard to come by. And her method of making madder root became very well known, so people would travel to Thyatira to get her specific purple cloth made out of madder root rather than made out of shellfish because it was a deeper purple than some of the other purples that were made. That color today is called Turkish red. Now, it was almost impossible for you to be part of a guild and be a Christian at the same time. Because if your guild worshiped Sambeth, you couldn't worship Sambeth and Jesus, right? So wherever your guild goes, you go. So if you then all of a sudden hear the word and become a Christian, you had this choice to make. Do I leave my guild, my livelihood, to follow Jesus? Am I willing to have such deep faith that I can leave this community, my guild, and follow Christ? Now, time out. Is that true today? Are there organizations that are hard to maintain your faith if you're part of them? I mean, just think about that. Perhaps, you know, in the fall, you're like me and you love football, right? And I love Sundays. I love watching football. I love Saturdays. I love all about it. I lived on the West Coast. Remember, Jeff, it was much harder because games came on at 10 o'clock in the morning, so you had to choose between Jesus or the Broncos. Tough choice, right? So I get it. Now that the weather is turning, maybe some of you belong to the Boaters Guild, some of you to the Golfers Guild, the Fishers Guild. You ride motorcycles with Pastor Jeff, right? You can crash Roger's pool on Sunday morning. He's not home, so maybe that's your guild. And while there's usually sometimes nothing wrong with any of these things, when we decide them over worship, culture has gotten a hold of us. Culture has gotten a hold of us. And sometimes we do choose those over worship, don't we? Sometimes we have that choice to make. Am I going to worship Jesus and set aside this time for him, or am I going to continue to be a member of my guild? So that's part of the culture, and that's what's going on in this area of the world, in this area of the country, when this letter that John writes from prison on the Isle of Patmos comes. So like a good English composition, there are five parts to this letter. There's an intro, there's three parts to the body, and there's a conclusion. So let's check the intro out. Now here's the intro. The intro to the letter says this: to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these words. These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Now remember, they worship the Son God. So calling Jesus the Son of God is a play on words a little bit, and using these images, eyes of fire, eyes like the sun, as some translations say, and whose feet are like burnished bronze, is addressing things that they would know. Immediately, they would know these elements because some of them were part of the carpentry or the metal layers guild. The intro goes on to say this: I know your deeds, your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance. We could spend a whole week on each one of those things because this church is getting things right. They have good deeds. They love each other. They have strong faith. They're good in service. They're persevering. And it goes on to say, you are doing more now than you did at first. This church is growing. Things are expanding. Ministries are happening. And that's when the sirens go off. Have you ever been like in a great season of life and then all of a sudden the storm warning came in? Things were going so well. Everything was lined out. And then all of a sudden something came and hit and caused everything to just be shifted slightly, a little to the left, a little to the right. So here comes the storm warning. Now, there are three types of storms. The first one is the storms that we create. And here we see in the letter that it goes on, it says this: nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. Now, Jezebel would hear from this god, Sambeth, and then would tell everybody what Sambeth would say, and they were supposed to believe her. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now, there's a direct connection to the word Jezebel here to the Old Testament Jezebel, who was the wife of King Ahab, who convinced Ahab to have Jews worship other gods. Jezebel, as we know that name, has become the archetype of a wicked, wicked woman. She introduced pagan gods into Jewish culture. She was a woman of fierce energy who tried to destroy and would kill anyone who would oppose her. She was kind of like their version of Belle Gunness, right? Or other evil women, Miley Cyrus, right? Or Kim Kardashian, you know, these types of people, you know? She was that type of person. She was an evil, evil person. And she was creating a storm in the community because she was getting the followers of Jesus to believe they could worship Sambeth and Jesus at the same time. You can worship two gods. That's okay. That's not a problem. Stay in your guild. If you want to do the Jesus thing, no problem. Go ahead. In fact, she would even come to the place where the Christians would meet and would teach this kind of thing. So this is the warning. So it goes on. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will. Now, here the words "so I will" are a bit passive. It could be, and some translations say it this way, she will be, so I will, or she will be, cast on a bed of her suffering. She created the storm, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely. Unless they repent of her ways, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now, here's the reality. For some of us, that's not our issue, right? We're not running around sleeping with everybody in town. Or maybe for some of us, that is our issue. But here's the thing. Sometimes we create our own storms, and then we blame God for the circumstances we're in, right? We're the ones who made the decision. The cause is the storm we created, and the effect can be devastating. We didn't always intend to blow up the situation. Maybe we didn't even mean for it to blow up, But some decision we made, like Jezebel, created this storm that we're in. You wrote that email and you hit send this time, right? You walked out on yet another relationship. You had too many to drink yet again. You lingered on that website too long. Am I in the right room? Right crowd? You too? You judged and gossiped about that person. You used social media to bully somebody. She got pregnant this time. Cheated on your spouse again. You bullied that kid, that coworker again. You stepped on someone to get that job promotion. You did whatever you did, and whatever it is that you did, you created your own storm. We create our own storms. I've created storms in my life. I've created storms that have had ripple effects that have affected others. You too, right? We create storms, and that's the cause. And then the effects, sometimes we blame God. Oh, God, why am I experiencing this? Guess what? You created the storm. And there is an effect to that. You blew it up. Maybe that wasn't your intention, or maybe it wasn't what you expected to do, but that's the cause and the effect. We created the storms, and you're left dealing with the disaster, the consequences, much like those who kept visiting Jezebel. There was a warning. If you keep doing this, it's going to affect you. If you keep doing this, calamity could come. If you keep doing this, those relationships are not going to be repaired. For some of you right now, that's where we could end, because you know the storm in your head that you created that you're still living with, right? I know some of mine. But there are other types of storms. There are storms that others create. See, Lydia started this church in Thyatira. She was the one who started the church. She did nothing wrong. In fact, she's the one who's really instrumental in this church growing and expanding and reaching the community and bringing others to Christ. And here comes Jezebel. She didn't ask for it. She just got caught in the shrapnel of what this person did. Sometimes the storms we create are simply done by somebody around us, and we get caught in the middle of those situations, just like all the ones I mentioned before. Maybe you got caught in the shrapnel of one of those situations that I just talked about. You weren't doing anything wrong. You were just there when the storm hit. You didn't ask for it. You didn't plan for it. You probably didn't even want it. You weren't the cause of it, but you feel the effects of it, right? Has that ever happened to you? Somebody else created a storm, and you're caught left in the middle of that storm feeling its effects? The scripture goes on in 24 to say, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching, so those of you who are not listening to this person who is not teaching the right truth and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, these deep things that Satan just loves to twist your mind. Oh, you created that storm, right? You're never getting out of this one. That's not God, that's Satan. You might have created a storm, but the hope is in Jesus, he can restore all things. So Satan's so-called deep secrets are these, look what you did. Or go ahead, keep on doing it. You've already done it once, right? Or how about this one? Just one more. Just one more. And here's what I've learned in my life. Just one more often leads to one more time, right? Right? So here's my word to you, those who aren't holding to her teacher. I will not impose any burden on you. You've been caught in the shrapnel. You're feeling the effects enough. Natural consequences of what someone else did are affecting you. So here's my words to you, and it's really simple. I will not impose any other burden on you except hold on. Hold on. For some of you, that's what you need to hear today. Hold on to what you have until I come. These people were not swayed by this Jezebel. They weren't swayed by this prophetess who was affecting the church. But they were feeling the effects of what she was doing because she was ripping the church apart. She was ripping families apart. She was ripping lives apart. And what's the message to you that have been affected by somebody else's storm? Hold on. Hold on. Sometimes in a storm, that's all you can do is hold on. I remember Kate and I went in this hurricane simulator, and you go in this little thing, and then the like starts shooting water at you, and the wind gets really rough, and there's a bar there, and just by natural instinct, you grab onto the bar. I mean, you're not going anywhere, but just by instinct, you grab onto the bar, and you hold on. I remember another time we were in a missions trip, and we had to go out on this lake to this island where we were going to present the gospel to this group of villagers. And as we were on our way out there, this huge storm arose on a lake. Now, it's kind of like Lake Michigan. You get far enough away, you can't see the shoreline. So it's kind of like that. This huge storm arose, and we're in this little dinghy boat. There's like 15 of us, and it's going like this and like this, and water's coming in, and this little African guy is going, "Hold on, Americans, hold on, hold on. You'll be okay, hold on." He's laughing at us, and everybody's like this. And he's just stupid. Yeah, because he does this every day. But sometimes in the middle of those disasters in life, the message to you is, hold on, hold on. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're feeling the effects. Don't lose sight. Keep your eyes above the water. Keep your eyes above the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hold on. Now, finally, the last type of storms that we deal with are the ones that are natural disasters, right? Sometimes storms simply happen. We don't always know the cause, but we certainly feel the effects. And we know these all too well, right? Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina, or maybe her name was Sandy or Katrina. Sorry if your name is Sandy or Katrina. Or a blizzard came over that mountain. Lightning struck. There's severe drought. It's just natural. You got the doctor report, and he says, "I don't know what caused it." Certain health effects seem to have no cause. Miscarriages, sometimes. We don't know the cause. Birth defects, right? Certain forms of cancer. There's no cause. We don't know the cause. Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's. Some of these things, we just simply don't know the cause. Some things in life simply happen. And again, while we don't know the cause always of these storms, man, do we feel their effects, don't we? Man, we feel the effects. Here's the message to you, to the one who is victorious. Did you catch it? You don't know the cause. You're being affected. He's not giving you an answer for the cause. Maybe the prayer is not, "God, why are you causing this?" but, "God, how can I be victorious through this?" See the difference? Changes perspective. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Are you catching this? You don't know the cause of whatever this natural disaster is that came your way, but you can be victorious through this. And if you are, there is a promise awaiting you far better than any effects of the storm you are experiencing right now, if you believe and if you will just hold on. That one will rule with them to an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Not this fake sun god, the real Son of God. That's what I will give to you. You can be victorious and do his will to the end, no matter what the storm of life may bring. Then you'll be blessed. The true Son of God. And when the storm comes, when the morning comes, you'll be considered victorious. Because you can do his will through whatever storm of life you are facing. This church was going through all three kinds of storms. Were they going to be victorious? That's the letter. That's the message. That's the question to the church. What storm are you facing? And are you going to be victorious? And finally, the letter ends with this conclusion. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. For some of us, we need to simply hear this message. We need to hear this letter. All those storms we are creating, all those people we are affecting. We're hurting the ones we love the most. And the message to us today is knock it off. Sorry if I stepped on your toes, but maybe that's our message today. You're creating storms. Quit it. For others of us, we're being affected by those storms that others are creating. And the message to us is simply this. Hold on. Hold on to Jesus. Nothing else is going to get you through. Hold on to Him stronger than you're holding on to anything else. Because everything else can be taken away in the storm. Jesus is the only thing who can get you through the storm. For even the what obey Him? The winds and the waves. For some of us, we're in a storm and we don't know the cause. We don't know what happened. In oceans deep, will your feet stand? Will you be victorious in the midst of whatever natural disaster you're experiencing today? With His help, you can overcome it and do His will to the end. Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for this day, for this morning, for this church, for whatever it is that we needed to hear, whatever storm of life we're facing. We know that you can get us through anything. We know that you can lead us wherever you would take us if we just keep our eyes fixed on you and keep our eyes above the storm. We know that you will call us to where you are, and that might mean walking through rough waters, but you're already ahead of us, calling us to be where you are. So help us to see that and help us to hold on in the middle of all these storms of life that we're facing. We love you. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with us as we sing this song, Oceans, as we close? Keep your eyes lifted up. There might be a storm now, but a new day is coming. And the Son of God will be there waiting for you. You can get through this if you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen.
Lord of heaven and earth. Continue on with our worship. Let's continue on with our worship.
faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Let's worship.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you. You, our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy. Only you are worthy. God, let your fire fall down. Let us shine. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun praise on him.